Thanks for joining us for another Lancaster Baptist podcast. We believe the Word of God is the infallible, eternal truth that is needed in this generation. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season." It's my prayer that the doctrinal encouragement of today's message will be a great blessing in your life. Thanks again for taking time to join with us. Today we're going to learn about the majestic gift and how from heaven the angels proclaim the coming of the Lord. So we're in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8. All of the notes are there in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Let's stand together for our scripture reading, and we'll turn to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16 for our scripture reading. Tonight's message is entitled, "He Came Down to Us," from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. Great, great scripture, and I'm looking forward to that as well. Luke 2, 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger." And verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for the privilege once again to open up the Holy Bible. We thank you that we have a word from you, and we pray that you would bless it. Bless the preaching time. Speak to hearts for those who have never received this wonderful gift as their own. May their heart be open to you today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Sometimes when we look at the manger scene, what we see really is a very humble picture. We see the hay and we see the manger, sometimes the animals around. And then, of course, Joseph and Mary as they stand there in adoration of the Lord Jesus. Earthly speaking, Bethlehem was a humble place. That manger scene is a humble scene. But today we want to get a glimpse into heaven for just a moment. This morning we're going to look up and we're going to see the angels and hear the proclamation of the angels as we get an understanding of what God really felt about what was taking place here on planet Earth. You know, John 1 and verse 14 tells us about the majesty of his birth, and it says these words, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This morning we're going to study a passage that tells us that the shepherds, common workers, were able to behold and to see the glory of the Lord and were to hear of the glory of the Lord from a choir of angels. Notice, if you would, in your outline this morning, the announcement of the angel. The Bible tells us in verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Now I want you to see this first of all and understand that it was a compelling event. Imagine if you were a shepherd just doing your normal watch at night, watching over your flock there not far from Bethlehem, and perhaps just kind of passing the time, maybe chewing on a piece of straw, maybe talking to your friends, and suddenly the Bible tells us a very life-changing event takes place in their life. Yet this particular announcement was made to very common men. Some of you know that the shepherds were frowned upon. in Bible times. They were unable to keep the ceremonial law of cleansing, and oftentimes they were looked upon as a lower caste of workers. These men would not have been the ones that we would expect the message of a king's arrival to come to first, but God, many times in His Word, chooses unsuspecting people to bring His message to, and many times in His Word shows us in examples like this that the gospel message is for everyone. How many of you are thankful this morning that the message of the Christ child is not just for the elite, but it's for everyone? That's what we see in the shepherds this morning. The announcement went first to the shepherds, one author said. They didn't ask God if He was sure He knew what He was doing. Had the angel gone to the theologians, they would have had to first consult their commentaries. Had the angel gone to the elite, they would have had to look around to see if anyone was watching before they really listened. Had the angel gone to the successful, they would have had to check their calendar to see if they had time to listen to the message of the angel. So the angel went to shepherds, men who did not have a reputation to protect, or an axe to grind, or a ladder to climb. Men who didn't know enough to tell God that angels don't sing to sheep, and that messiahs aren't found wrapped in swaddling clothes, feeding and sleeping at a trough. You see, the Lord went to the shepherds, I believe, to show us that the message is a message for all who will put their faith in Him. What a tremendous moment this was. What a startling moment it was. The Bible tells us in verse number 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." For the first time in centuries, the glory of God is being known on planet Earth. Perhaps it was Gabriel sounding out the message that Jesus Christ had been born. Now, the glory of the Lord was something known to those in the Old Testament. On many various occasions, the Bible speaks of it. In your notes, Exodus 16 in verse 10 says, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Now, when the glory of the Lord appeared, it was a good thing. It was a symbol of the presence of God, the brightness of His glory, the protection, the provision of God. But how many of you realize that when the shepherds first saw the glory of the Lord, they may not have known it immediately as a good thing? How many of you know it might have scared them to death? I mean, you're just out there chewing on a piece of straw, talking about politics and the Roman Empire and whatever else they had on their mind, and suddenly the glory of the Lord is round about them. I remember a while back, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, our friend Dr. David Gibbs was coming in to preach for us for an event, and for some reason on that occasion, he was driving a car on his own, and we didn't pick him up at the airport, and his flight was late, and he got in way past midnight, and I met him either at the church or a hotel somewhere, and as he was getting out of the car, he looked tired like he always looks, and he was moving a little slowly, but there was something else not just right, and I said, "It doesn't seem like you're doing okay. You feeling all right? What's wrong?" He said, "Oh," he said, "I had quite an experience on the way over here." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You know that highway 138? I said, "I know 138. He said, "I was driving along and just kind of sleepy-like going along 138. And he said, "Suddenly a light from heaven surrounded my car." He said, "I didn't know what it was." He said, "It scared me to death." He found out later it was a police helicopter. I think he might have been going a little too fast. He didn't confess that particular sin, but that's what I was surmising, you know. And he said, "Man, it just scared me to have the light just around the car like that, surrounding us." And he said, finally, there was a voice from the helicopter that gave him some commands. I think the command was slow down. And he said that the helicopter flew off. You know, I don't know what those shepherds felt that night, but I have a feeling that the sensation for them was a very compelling event. You'll see why in just a moment. That's because they had to receive, secondly, a comforting promise. Look at what the angels have to say to them in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not." How many of you, like me, would have to have heard those words? I mean, that would have helped a little bit to hear the words, "Fear not." You know, it's not Judgment Day. It's not Armageddon, but it's the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has come for the salvation of the world. Those words, "Fear not," were uttered, of course, to Mary and then to Joseph, and now to the shepherds. And those words are constantly being uttered by God's Spirit to all who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a compelling event for the shepherds. It was a comforting promise for the shepherds. Notice thirdly, they heard a comprehensive announcement. And the comprehensive announcement is seen in verse 10 as well. It says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Let's say the last part of this verse together. Ready, begin. Which shall be to all people. I don't know about you, but I'm just so thankful that when I look at verse number 10, that I see the good tidings of great joy are for all people. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." You see, the message of Jesus Christ is a message to all people, the brokenhearted, the blind, those that have and those that have not, every cultural background, every nation, every people. The Bible says that this is a message which shall be to all people. How we ought to thank him for that today. My friend, it doesn't matter where you've been and it doesn't matter what you've done. There is a God in heaven who loves you and sent his son to die on the cross for your sin. A few years ago, Warren Buffett, who at that time was the second richest man in the world, I don't know where he'd fit in on that now, but back then he was worth about $50 billion, give or take a billion. And he was a man that was highly sought after for counsel and still is. Well, he wanted to raise some money for his foundation, and so he decided that what he would do is he would put out on the internet an auction so that if anyone wanted to have lunch with him, they could bid, and the highest bidder would have lunch with him, and the money would go to his particular foundation and charitable causes and so forth. And so the bidding began online, and people bid $1,000, $2,000. This is just for lunch, just for an hour, just a little counsel, maybe a few photographs with Warren Buffett. At the end of the bidding, the winner had given an astounding $351,100 to have lunch with Warren Buffett. Now, how many of you are thankful today that to have a place at the table with the King of Kings is free for all who believe? It's for all people. It's good tidings for all people. John 12:46, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." And so this was a compelling event for the shepherds. It was a comforting promise they heard, "Fear not." And then they saw this comprehensive announcement that everyone is welcome to know the truth that we're announcing. And then I want you to see, fourthly, this announcement was also a completed prophecy. This was a prophecy that was now being fulfilled in the moment in which they received it. The Bible says in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, I want you to take note of this prophecy and notice that everything the angel was saying to the shepherds is related back to the promises found in the scriptures. For example, here we see the location of the birth of Jesus Christ is announced in the city of David. The city of David was Bethlehem, the house of bread. And it was in the house of bread that the bread of life was presented to the world. And that was prophesied hundreds of years prior by Micah in Micah 5:2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Contrary to the teaching of some cults, Jesus did not begin his existence in Bethlehem's manger. He was from old. He was from everlasting. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The eternal Son of God took the form of a man in Bethlehem, according to the prophecy of Micah and Isaiah and others. And then we see here, he was also mentioned as a Savior. "For unto you is born this day in the the city of David a Savior. How many of you like the word Savior? I love that word. I'm so glad that I have a personal Savior named the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful today to have a church membership. I love Lancaster Baptist Church. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I'm glad I'm a pastor. I'm glad I have lots of friends here. I love all of these things, and the relationships of the local church are a gift from God. But you know, more than all of that, I'm so thankful that I have a personal Savior today. I'm glad I'm not trusting in a church to take me to heaven. I'm glad I'm not trusting in a ritual to wash my sins away. I'm glad I'm not trusting in someone's word to me that I'm okay, but that I'm trusting in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to know that I'm okay. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And so here we see a purpose fulfilled, the promise that a Savior would come to Israel. And then to all of the world, the message resounds because of Jesus Christ. And then notice thirdly in this verse, it says, which is Christ the Lord. Here we see the prophecy fulfilled concerning who this person would be, the Messiah, which is Christ the Lord. Isaiah said it this way, for unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And as Isaiah foretold it, God's word was fulfilled, and the Everlasting Father, God in the flesh, came down. Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The essence of this announcement, a Savior has been born and has entered into the world. That's the announcement the angel made to the shepherds. But I want you to notice, secondly, the adoration of the heavenly host. Before we learn a few lessons from the shepherds, I want you to see the majesty of this announcement. Again, on the earth, just a couple shepherds, perhaps a flock or two of sheep and a stable setting for the Lord. But from heaven, we get a glimpse of how significant this event really is. Notice in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now we get a quick description of this host, and the Bible tells us in these passages that there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. There was an army of angels joining in with the angel Gabriel making the announcement, and they had descended from on high to prepare the way of the Prince of Peace and to announce the coming of the Prince of Peace. And by the way, did you know that the same angels are praising him today as the worthy Lamb that was slain for our sin? Now the angels proclaimed his coming, and they said, glory to God in the highest, and they sang forth the praises of Jesus when he came to this world. But when you look at the book of the Revelation, you get a little idea about the songs they're singing now. And they're in the second or third verse now, and they're singing according to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. My friend, Jesus Christ was born that he might die on the cross for our sins. That bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ, which came from the Holy Spirit of God, was shed on the cross so that we might have atonement and forgiveness, and so that all people might have atonement and forgiveness. And so now the song in heaven the angels are singing is, worthy is the Lamb. How many of you agree this morning? He is worthy of our praise and of our adoration. We were having the college choir sing a few weeks back, and they came to the end of their songs, and the last song was the Hallelujah Chorus. And when we heard the orchestra playing the Hallelujah Chorus, the congregation stood to their feet, and I was doing a little research. Someone had asked me, why do we stand for that song? And how many of you know sometimes you just do stuff because it's the right thing to do? You know it's the right thing to do, and so forth. And I thought I knew, but I wanted to go back and check. And sure enough, when Handel's Messiah was given in London, I believe it was King George II who was there present, hearing this great debut of this great masterpiece of music. And they had heard the Lord extolled and praised throughout this musical, and as they came to this particular chorus, as the Hallelujah Chorus rang out, clearly the chorus was placing Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and as the name above every name. And as the song was given, as the message was understood, King George II stood to his feet. And the protocol simply stated was that when the king would do that, all would rise as well. And the king of England, recognizing who was being praised in the song, stood in honor of the King of Kings. And so it is today that as that chorus is given around the world, men and women stand to their feet honoring the name that is above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. This host understood that. And from heaven, we get a glimpse of the majesty of the one who was born on Christmas morning. Notice the declaration in particular in verse 14. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now the Romans, they were great at trying to say how good things were going. Much like the politicians of the day, they always have the answer. Very seldomly do you find someone humbly putting their knee in the snow, as did George Washington, asking God for wisdom. The Romans had established in 27 BC something called the Pax Romanus, and they had determined that because of their decree, there would be peace on the earth. It was the Roman peace decree. How many peace decrees have we seen established in the United Nations and amongst others and in many places, and yet the world goes on without peace? That's the type of feeling they had in the first century. They had a feeling that Rome was promising, but Rome was not delivering. And so it was that the message of the angels was peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And what a blessing to know the message is still true today. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The reason that they said peace on earth is because the peace giver had been born, and because the Lord Jesus Christ was born in order that he might die on the cross of Calvary, then they could ring out the message, peace on earth. And my friend, if you're here this morning, and though it may be in your life that there are trials or physical trials or family trials, though you may have problems surrounding you, if you have Christ within you, you have the peace that Jesus Christ promises. Oh, there is a coming kingdom. There is a place of peace called heaven, but there is a person of peace named Jesus, and they were ringing out the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that he brought to this earth. And so the announcement of the angel, it was a wonderful, compelling announcement. The adoration of the heavenly host gives us a glimpse of the majesty of Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice finally with me this morning the action of the shepherds. The action of the shepherds. Now, how many of you believe that such a message given in such a way might be life-changing? How many of you, if tonight, as you're driving home from church, going down Avenue K at about 30th Street East or West, suddenly the angel of the Lord came upon you, and the glory of the Lord shone round about you, and the heavenly host sang a song or two to you and told you something. How many of you think it might alter your behavior? Now, it wouldn't alter some Baptist behaviors. I know some Baptists who'd go, "Cool, dude, let's go to Hometown Buffet." You know, just kind of, I don't know what it's going to take to get some Christians awakened today. You know what I mean? But I have a feeling that most born-again people would go, "Wow, I can't live for sheep anymore. I can't spend my days chewing on straw and talking about stuff." And the Bible tells us that what they saw changed their lives. And I want you to recognize that if you truly believe something, it will affect your behavior. And if you are living kind of like the guy next door who doesn't even know Jesus, and your life is really just almost the same as the people that are fighting and quarreling and living for lustful desires, if your life's about like that, you might want to do a little check this Christmas and make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and that he's ruling and reigning as the Lord of your life. Well, notice the action of the shepherds. First of all, let's see their pursuit for Christ. What do they do? In verse 15 it says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass.'" Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. Their response was to seek the Lord. Psalm 111 in verse 2, "The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein." And I want to tell you what, when you get a hold of the truth of Christmas, The desire of your heart is this: I want to be a better Christian. I want to be where the Lord is. I want to be with the Lord. I want to see the great works of the Lord. Now, I don't know what you're pursuing this week. Maybe a few minutes with a grandchild. Maybe time with some relatives. Maybe you're looking forward to a present. Maybe there's a boy in here that wants to get a Daisy BB gun. That was one of my big Christmas wishes. I remember that. What better way to terrorize brothers and sisters than running around with a BB gun? Maybe you're hoping for something else. I don't know. And you know what? All of the blessings of fellowship or food or gifts, every good gift and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to serve such a blessed Savior who gives so bountifully. But if you miss the message from the shepherds this morning, you miss the real meaning. Because the message was, having realized who Jesus is and that he's here, they wanted to be close to him. They wanted to see and be with their Savior, the Lord Jesus. There was a fellow working in a mall as a Santa Claus, and kids would come in and they would ask for presents and so forth. And lots of kids would ask for the same present, lots of young boys especially. They would ask for a train set. And train sets are cool. And lots of little boys like train sets. And so his habit, when they would ask for a train set, this particular man would say something like this to them. He'd say, "Well, that'd be fine, son, but you know if you get a train set, you're going to share that with your daddy." And they'd kind of, you know, a lot of them would say, "Okay," or "That's fine," or whatever. And so he said that to one young man, and the young man got kind of silent. And so the Santa Claus fellow was going to kind of move the conversation along. He said, "Now, what else would you like for Christmas?" And the little boy looked right at him. He said, "Another train." He wanted that train. He wanted that train all to himself. He didn't want to share it. And sometimes the attitude at this time of year can go that direction. But the fact of the matter is, wise men, women, boys, and girls who have seen the glory of the Lord and your sins are forgiven, and you can remember the time when you were saved, and you know that Jesus lives within you, the most precious pursuit of this week is the pursuit of Jesus Christ. Through his word, through the services, through the music, drawing closer to him. The commentator Adam Clark said, "All delays are dangerous, but he who delays to seek Jesus, when the angels, the messengers of God, bring him glad tidings of salvation, risks his present safety and his eternal happiness." Friend, if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you've been kind of putting off this matter of coming to Christ and asking for the forgiveness of your sin and following him with your life, I want to encourage you, don't put it off another day. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they not only pursued him, but notice, of course, they found him. The Bible says in verse number 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." Verse 17, "And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." Notice their praise of Christ. Oh, they pursued after Christ, and when they saw it, when they had confirmed in their heart what they had heard, now they had seen it, the Bible says they made Christ known everywhere they went. Psalm 66, 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." My friend, at this joyous and glad time of year, we are living in a nation where some of the fastest growing belief systems and causes are things like the Muslim faith, the homosexual lifestyle, things that are being passed in Congress, and religious freedoms that are being expressed sometimes are the exact opposite, diametrically opposed to what we celebrate. And one of the reasons is because of Christians who are not like the shepherds, Christians who do a little bit of ceremonial time in church but forget to go out and tell others the Christ child has been born. Jesus truly is the Son of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I want to challenge you this morning. Come to the manger, look at the cross, and then go out this week and tell someone else the wonderful story of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's just kind of a tradition. It's kind of like going to church and flexing down and flexing up and getting some holy water and going back out and just doing whatever we used to do. My friend, let this be more than a ceremony. Let this year be a life-changing event for you. Look at the Savior and then go out to the world and make known abroad what Jesus Christ has done. The Bible says in verse number 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. Psalm 107 and verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I hope you'll take time this week to praise the Lord. I hope you'll look some folks right in the eye and say to them, Merry Christmas, and here's a gospel track. I'd like to invite you to Lancaster Baptist Church. Jesus is the reason for the season. Look at friend, as the Holy Spirit gives utterance, you follow his leadership. As the shepherds did, going out making known abroad that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the will of Christ for us. Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And as we close this morning, let's take one final look at Mary in verse 19. The Bible says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Would you read that with me? But Mary kept all these things. Helen Keller said, the only blind person at Christmas time is the person who has not Christmas time in their heart. My friends, Mary pondered all these things in her heart. In the city of David, surrounded by the animals, surrounded by the shepherds, no doubt recognizing and worshiping her son as her Savior. Deity wrapped in humanity, the miracle of miracles, that God became man and that God had given her part in the process. Would you take time this week, if you are saved, to ponder all these things in your heart? Take some still, quiet moments with God to remember his greatness and his love just for you. Once again, I want to thank you for joining with us for today's message. Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.